Grow up. That's our sermon series. Grow up. Taking the next step in faith. Worship plus two. Worship, grow, and serve. Take the next step in faith. Take one step in one of these three areas. I don't know about you, but when I hear that kind of language, when I hear of this new initiative to help us take the next step in faith, I can't help but think, what if I don't have faith? How can I take the next step on a journey I'm not even sure I've started? You know, sometimes church members will make a confession to me or Pastor David. They'll say, everyone keeps talking about a relationship with Christ, and I don't even know if I believe. They'll say, I don't even know what that would look like. And so they want to know, where do I fit in with the rest of you? Do I belong here too? Honestly, it's refreshing. Good for you, for anyone who says that. That's how I felt for much of my life. That's how I still feel plenty of times. And if that's the boat you find yourself in this morning, then this story is for you. The story of Jesus healing a paralytic after his friends dropped him through the roof. And the way the story goes is Jesus was at home preaching to a great crowd. And what he was saying must have been so compelling because more and more people started showing up. It always makes me think of our Christmas concerts here at PUMC, where we cram so many chairs in this sanctuary for all the people who come in. And we crank that air conditioning up even in December because so many packed bodies starts to give off a lot of heat. And we set up more chairs in the lobby and we put speakers out there and we keep the doors open all because people keep showing up. They're thirsty for the gift of that night. Well, now imagine even more people coming not to hear music, but to hear a teaching. More and more people pushing against each other to hear Jesus. So many gathered around that the doors are blocked, no one else can get in, and still the people are coming. All because Jesus was, quote, speaking the word to them. That's all it says. Wouldn't you love to know what he was saying? All it says is he was speaking the word to them. It must have been a word people were thirsty for. Well, along came a few more people to hear Jesus, and one of them couldn't walk. And so he was carried by four friends who held the four corners of the mat where he lay because of his disability. In those days, people thought you had a disability as a result of sin, either yours or your parents. And so you can imagine how often this man must have felt like the other, you know, like the one who's different from everyone else, the other, the one who's on the fringe, just kind of looking on. In their Bible, in our Old Testament, there are these rules for people with disabilities. They are not allowed to serve as priests who offer food to God during worship. Leviticus 21 says no one with a blemish or some malfunction, no one with a broken leg or a certain kind of scar, no one with a disability can get close to God. And it's a terrible rule. I can't imagine that that is actually how God feels. So that may have been how people made sense of God back in those days, but it is not how we understand God in 2019. So what if this paralyzed man had spent his whole life feeling like he wasn't quite part of this faith thing, at least not the way everyone else seemed to be? What if he spent his whole life feeling like he wasn't sure where he fit? I wonder if he had a relationship with God at all. Maybe he'd been burned one too many times. The story tells us that the crowds were so big around Jesus' house that this man couldn't reach Jesus. But he and his friends were just as desperate as everyone else. They were just as thirsty to hear Jesus. And so they tried the front door, it was blocked. They tried the windows, they were blocked. They tried to squeeze in, nothing was working, till finally they decided to climb the roof. They climbed up on the roof, the four friends and the man on his mat, and then they started digging. And in those days, the houses would have a flat roof made with a wooden framework and then mud plaster over that. So they got dirty. They got into that mud. They broke it up. They got dirt under their fingernails trying to dig a hole through the roof to get directly over Jesus. And you would think that the people in the house would have started to catch on when the ceiling starts chipping away and falling down on them. You would think that'd be enough for them to make some space for these people trying to get to Jesus, but maybe they couldn't be bothered. Sometimes I think the reason we don't make room for others to be near Jesus is because we're afraid we'll have to give up our own place there. But maybe it's just that the house was too crowded, and just as there was no way in, there was no way out. So there they sat as the mud rained down. And at last, a hole was cleared, big enough to lower a man through, right where Jesus was. And I hope that at the last second, the crowd in the house lifted their arms to catch the four corners and lower the man to safety. And that is how the story goes. When they could not bring the man to Jesus because of the crowd, they removed the roof above Jesus. And after having dug through it, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, "Son, your sins are forgiven." And I believe Jesus tells him this not because of his disability. I don't think his disability has anything to do with sin. I think Jesus tells him this because that was just Jesus' sermon for the day. That was the thing everyone was crowding around to hear. So Jesus gives the paralytic the exact same good news that he gives to every other person who has shoved their way through the door of that home, every other person who is leaning on window ledges packed so tight that they can feel the heat of bodies. All Jesus is saying over and over is, "Son, your sins are forgiven. Daughter, your sins are forgiven. Everyone, your sins are forgiven." For the first time, this man who has felt like an outsider finally gets to hear for himself that the good news is not just good news for some, it is for all. Your sins are forgiven. And to prove that he has the power to forgive sins, Jesus goes a step further and heals the man of what has been paralyzing him. So he touches this man in both ways. Physically, he gifts him with abilities he never had before. And spiritually, he restores his soul. All of this to prove that God is a God of grace and care. God is a God of mercy on our body and our soul. Usually when someone receives a miraculous healing from the Lord, we think they must have had a lot of faith, right? That's how that works. You have a lot of faith in Jesus, faith that he'll heal you. You know, name it and claim it. Believe it and receive it. So this man must have had a lot of faith in Jesus and must have asked Jesus to heal him and believed that Jesus could heal him, right? Not so. That is not how the story goes. I think the story is saying it's not as important what the man on the mat believes. What matters is, what do the four friends holding the four corners believe? After having dug through the roof, they let down the mat on which the paralytic lay. When Jesus saw their faith, nothing about the man they were carrying. The story doesn't say anything about the paralytic's faith. We don't know if he had his ducks in a row and was ready to take the next step. We don't know if he prayed the sinner's prayer, or said the Apostles' Creed, or got baptized and spoke in tongues. All we know is that he had some friends who had faith. He had friends who knew that Jesus was worth getting to. It was their faith in Jesus, not his own. That's what he could cling to. Those friends knew that Jesus brings forgiveness and healing and purpose and joy and new life and new hope, and that was enough. You don't have to wait till you have it all figured out to take the next step in faith. You just need to be around people who are taking that next step. This story shows that it's not about faith alone, it's faith together. It's not all up to you, it's faith together, where you have four friends lifting the corners of your mat and setting you down at the feet of Jesus. And then yes, that man did have a responsibility. He did have to do something new after finally being led to Jesus. It is true that once you're there, you can't stay the same. This man had to do something he'd never done before. He had to stand on his own two feet and walk. In the end, it was still up to him to do the scary thing and take a new step. So yes, even though it was the faith of his friends that carried him there, Jesus still asked him to carry it forward. "I say to you," he said, "stand up, take your mat, and go home." Whenever our shaky faith makes us feel like an outsider and maybe we don't feel ready to take the next step, I have good news. We don't have to dig our own hole through the roof. You have brothers and sisters sitting around you right now who will sweep you along the tide of God's love. Brothers and sisters who will bear you up like you're floating on a wave. And because of these people, their faith, we can do what we've never done before. Thanks be to God. Amen. This morning,